Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 76. Tom, what a week.
There's a sports team called the 76ers.
Oh, there is too.
Yeah.
Is it baseball or basketball or American football? It's American.
I think it's football.
Okay. Go the 76ers.
Yeah.
From wherever you are from and whatever sport you like to play.
Go sports ball.
Exactly. We got a lot to get through. We won't be talking any spoilers about Game of Thrones because we've got the actual Game of Thrones spoiler episode's already out.
Yes.
So if you want to listen and
pop that in your ear holes.
Yeah, our thoughts and predictions post Winterfell Night King.
We won't hound you about that further.
Very good. Very good. But we've got bits and pieces.
I got so much news, hey.
Oh, I've got a lot of stuff I've been doing.
Oh, you've been keeping busy. I've been keeping watchful.
Oh, yes, you have. Okay, do you want to kick off the gnolls?
Sure. It's that time of year when we're getting cancellations and renewals. A couple of renewals that I saw just before we were coming in. Manifest, which really surprised me. That was the people that disappeared on a plane and came back 5 years later.
And I remember I was keen to watch it, and then you and maybe Linz, or maybe it was just Linz. I remember having a conversation with you guys, and the general vibe was, it wasn't as good as we wanted it to be.
Look, I enjoyed the first few episodes, but there was just so much stuff on that I didn't keep up with it. But good on them getting another run. We'll see where that goes from there. I also saw that Future Man has been renewed at Hulu for season 3, which will be the final season.
Oh, so they've already said that's it.
Yep, cool. Which makes a lot of sense because season 2, which I'm very much enjoying at the moment, is making it more difficult to continue, we'll say. The time travel shenanigans are really starting to come into play.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Designated Survivor, season 3, which the show has moved to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Season 3 will be dropping in June.
Now, I wonder how Netflix are going to go, only because they've got a bit of a history of dropping things after 3 seasons. But they might give it a couple of extra seasons, seeing they have only just picked it up.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're going to bother going for the 100-episode syndication mark.
No.
They don't need to.
Yeah.
But having a show fronted by Kiefer Sutherland is a big deal for Netflix.
That's true.
I think it's more that side.
Having said that, they definitely do have some big names behind things.
For sure, for sure. A lot of the big names that they've wooed have been film stars coming over to the world of TV. So to have one who was technically one of the very first film stars who started a TV show, I think that's kind of a big deal. I think it's also the fact that the show is very, very hot button topical. It's about following a president who many people believe is not fit for the role, the underhanded political backstabbing going on around him and stuff like that. I don't know. I quite enjoyed the first season, but again, I didn't. It was too much on. And
it made sense that Netflix were going to pick it up because they didn't have House of Cards anymore, and that sort of scratches that itch.
Correct.
A bit. I did see that a lot of people over the week were really super upset about Santa Clarita Diet getting cancelled after 3 seasons.
That was my next one.
And once again, that seems to be what Netflix do. 3 seasons, unless you're one of the big, big shows, that's it.
I think it comes down to contract agreements more than anything else. They're probably not in the Marvel game of trying to tie someone up for 7. Oh, TV contracts are regularly for 7 seasons.
Ah, right.
And things like that. I don't think Netflix is interested in that game at all. And they, without sharing their figures and stuff like that, it's hard to know. But I imagine they get a bigger pop every time there's a new show, a new buzzworthy show, compared to season 4 when it's just entrenched viewers. You're not gaining new viewers from that.
That's true. I know a few people were quite upset about it. But I think once this becomes more of a thing over the next year, I think people will get used to the idea that you can't hold on to shows on Netflix.
Yeah, very much so. Other ones that I saw that are either coming or going, we talked plenty about the ones that are renewed, which is great. Santa Clarita, obviously, that's very sad that it's been cancelled.
Very funny show.
Yeah. Mm. It's not one that I kept up with. I dropped in on a couple of episodes. And
it makes you laugh. Yeah. And just Drew Barrymore, you know.
Yeah.
She's lovable.
She certainly is.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for her.
Me too.
Yeah. She's not, we don't see her as much these days.
No, I guess she's been busy eating.
And she's busy behind the scenes. She's got a big production company.
And she's had that for ages.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Charlie's Angels was one of the first things that her production company did.
Mm-hmm. Wrecked, which is the Lost parody that I've enjoyed for three seasons. That's definitely cancelled.
Okay.
I had a feeling it was going to be cancelled at the end of last season. It definitely ended the show in such a way that it could have continued, but at the same time, that could be the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of the stars from the show in, I think, November, I want to say, last year, were basically like, yeah, I think it's pretty much done.
Okay. So they were pretty honest about the situation.
Yeah, yeah, they were really open. I mean, it was never a ratings juggernaut or anything like that, but it was a really well-written show. It was a lot of fun. And the other one that surprised me quite a bit, and this is for all you younger Disney fans and stuff, Andy Mack has been cancelled the season 3 finale, which will be, I believe, at the end of June. Mm-hmm. Is going to be the end of the show.
That's it.
Which is very surprising because that show has really pushed some different stuff on television, focusing on Asian American family. It was the first Disney program where a child came out as gay, you know, had a realization and explained to friends about the situation and things like that. Very, very open, very progressive show. And it was getting them a ton of support and love.
So I wonder the reasoning behind. Could it be a contractual thing?
Look, it could be. But I have a feeling, again, it's going to be something to do with Disney Plus coming into play where they're realigning channels and deciding exactly what content will go there.
Yeah.
Andy Mack being a little bit older and a little more serious than your Bizarre Darks, iCarly, Bunked, all that sort of show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't quite right fit for what they want that service to be anymore. Yeah. I really don't know. There was not much reasoning that I could find out there for it. I'm sure it will come out in time.
It was just a fact that was given.
Yeah. But it was quite a swerve. There are plenty of other Disney Channel shows that I would have happily seen go and not kept up with, but yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe they feel like they've got another show with a big name that they're bringing for Disney Plus, and it's similar, and they just don't want to have two that are too close together. I don't know. They're just deciding that's it.
Yeah.
For reasons.
For reasons.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Any other cancellations?
No, but I've got a little bit of release date and a remake that I'm excited about. You tell us some news first. You jump in.
Sigourney Weaver went to a New Jersey high school recently over the last week because they were staging a theatrical production of Alien.
I had seen a little bit of footage.
Yeah, so she went backstage and it seemed like most of the cast didn't know that she was going to appear because they were all sort of mucking around, and then they turned around and there she was, and they just started screaming, and it was really nice, and she sort of told them what they were doing was so cool and super important. And I think if you've been invested in doing Aliens for months, you would imagine they would have been rehearsing for, to have the original Ellen or Ripley show up and tell you that must have just been the best feeling.
Oh, yeah, especially because these kids were working outside any copyright, permission, trademark, all sorts of things.
Hard work.
Yeah, they got around all of that and then made a play that was that good that the creators and everyone involved with them was like, this is great. I'd heard that was a special performance that they put on for Sigourney Weaver, but they didn't know it was for her.
No.
They just told it was going to be a one-off encore performance.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's so cool, right? And I hope that for those guys, whether it be the actors or the other students who are involved in it, I hope that they continue to work in that field.
Oh, yeah. Well, what movie do you think would make a unmakeable play that could end up being great?
I don't know why my head is going for 1980s, maybe because of Alien, but what about something like Indiana Jones?
Ooh.
That'd be fun. Except I can imagine due to, you know, health and safety, there'd be issues with having a whip around.
Sure, and a giant boulder inside an auditorium.
And a whole lot of snakes.
Why would it have to be snakes?
Exactly, but that could be fun.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think I'd go for Who Framed Roger Rabbit with holograms.
Like the one that they did for Tupac those few years ago.
And then you could have the class clown standing off stage voicing Roger and doing voices and stuff like that. But I'd love to see a 17-year-old in an oversized suit pretending to be Judge Doom. Just think that'd be great.
You know there'd be a couple of girls who'd be really hanging out for the Jessica Rabbit part.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say all the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Say all of them. All right, you said that there was a remake or a reboot, was it?
Yeah, a remake. I'm so excited for this. So probably about 15 years ago, Charlie Brooker, who you know from creating Black Mirror, at that time he was a TV critic. He'd been a video game critic for a while, but he was mainly a TV critic. And he essentially got told to shit or get off the pot. If you're going to sit there and hang crap on TV shows, let's see you do better. So he turned around and wrote something that still sticks under my skin with me now, a program called Dead Set. Dead Set, it's set behind the scenes of a Big Brother house during the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this ages ago.
Yes, and it was shown across 5 nights. The first night is the night of an elimination, just a regular Sunday night show and someone's getting kicked out. That's when the zombie virus hits.
Mm.
By the end of that episode, almost everyone outside the house is dead and the people inside the house think the show is still going and they're left like that for a while.
What a premise.
It's very clever. And then, it, you know, zombies slowly get closer and closer and there's a point where they're pretty sure that there's zombies out in the camera tracked, you know, behind the double mirrors.
Yeah.
But they can't get out to go and check and all this sort of stuff. It's very, very tense.
Food will run out.
There is a lot of... There's a lot of young actors that have grown up to be in things that you'd know, dramatic actors. But there's also a few really funny comedians in there playing against type. And it has one of the most horrible being pulled apart by zombie deaths on anything I've ever seen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But cool at the same time.
Yes. And being Charlie Brooker, it is very, very subversive and it's very much playing with the format of what constitutes reality television. Just because you're seeing something through a lens doesn't make it real, even though, so you're watching the characters go about Big Brother stuff normally, and that's fake television. Then the zombies attack, which you know as a viewer is fake television, but through the lens of it is...
It's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's a really, really interesting dichotomy. Anyway, so that was made for, I want to say Channel 4, I can't, maybe ITV, but whatever is the trashiest one over in the UK.
Yeah.
Now that Charlie Brooker's so in with Netflix, maybe the rights for Dead Set have lapsed or something along those lines because he is now – Netflix Brazil are doing their own version, Charlie Brooker approved. I don't know whether it's Charlie Brooker involved, but he was there at the launch ceremony for Netflix Brazil. So it's got his full stamp of approval.
And because it's got him attached to it in the terms of the fact that he came up with it, I imagine Netflix internationally is going to release it for us.
Yes.
Which so we will I want to watch.
This. It's entirely set in Rio. I have a lot of... I think this could be really good.
Yeah, this sounds really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see a Mexican version where it's instead of Big Brother House, it's a telenovela.
Oh, yes. Cries in Spanish.
Yeah. You know, there's all these different... You close your eyes and you think about different cultural settings, what would their equivalent be? Japanese game show.
I can see the Mexican one and having it like around the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Japanese game show would be crazy.
Can you imagine Takeshi with zombies?
Yes.
He'd be so set. Remember he used to drive around in that? It was probably cardboard. Might have been
a lot of that balsa wood.
That little tank. And he'd pop out the top. Yes. Imagine here Takeshi taking out zombies in that.
Please make this real.
Mm. There you go. So hopefully, I mean, I know we're spitballing, but if it does well, this Rio version, maybe this could set off different cultures adapting it to make it their own and we just get to benefit from that.
I'd be happy.
It's almost like a TV version of World War Z.
If only, right? We're still hoping for World War Z.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or, hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
Oh, I saw something that I'm pretty sure you would have seen as well. There's a bit of news about Suicide Squad.
Mm.
Just a small casting role. Polka Dot Man has got an actor attached to
him. David Dashamalian, I believe is the way it's pronounced. It is a lot of vowels in there. You might recognize this guy from Ant-Man. He plays Kurt, one of Ant-Man's crew, the dude with the tall hair who's very worried about Baba Yaga. He is also in The Dark Knight. He's the insane guy that tries to shoot Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman, on behalf of the Joker, and Batman gets him in the back of the truck. Where is he? He's the guy.
He's
the guy that gets, where is he?
He's very much into the comic book world.
He's been on Gotham. He's been on Flash. He's a man about town with that stuff. Now, I follow him on Facebook and all over. He's a really interesting guy. He's a proper character actor and very much involved in that idea of raising the craft and all this sort of stuff. So he's very, very supportive of other people. It's great to see him get these small character role parts.
Now, Polka Dot Man, now this is from the DC Universe, obviously, because it's Suicide Squad. We don't know too much about Polka Dot Man because he didn't appear in many comic books.
I get Polka Dot Man confused regularly with a Spider-Man villain called The Spot. They both have a similar look.
I can see
look.
Why.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Spot has dimensional holes that he can throw in the air and, like, he can throw two of them.
Like portals.
Like portals, kind of like a Wile E. Coyote drawing on walls type thing.
Yep.
He can go through it. I can't remember if Polka Dot can do that, but I know he can use his dots for something. Some of the people they're putting in this film are weird.
This is the little line that I got about him. So the polka dots he can use for different reasons. Attacks, escaping, magic, and other ways. I don't know what that means. That sounds rather mysterious. Other ways. Now, this character came out in about the early 60s.
Yes.
I wonder if they're going to give him a bit of a retro look.
Oh, I think that would be very cool. I think he's just there to die. I could be very wrong, and like if they're going to have one pathetic character skirt their way through the entire film, this would be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I can just see him being given a horrible, horrible death where he accidentally falls into his own portal and gets ripped in half or something along those lines.
They have said it's not going to be a big role, so it does sound like it's something that could be, well, he could be quite dispensable.
If you're in a movie called Suicide Squad and your name isn't at the top of the poster.
Yeah, you don't have much luck.
No.
Now, you said that there was something else you were super interested in.
Oh, and a few more releases of things that are coming up, a bit more news.
Yes, please.
So Descendants 3, we'll move past quickly. It's coming out in August. We're keeping everyone updated because there are, it might not be you, but there are a lot of people that love these movies. They do big business.
They're way more popular. They're way more successful than you often give them credit for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're a bit of a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So August is when that's coming. That's great. Avenue 5 is a show I've mentioned briefly before. It's an Armando Iannucci show, who's the creator of Veep, the thick of it. Lots of stuff that you would have known and loved. It's a show for HBO, and I mentioned it last time that Hugh Laurie was involved. So we found out a little bit more. The show is called Avenue 5.
Yep.
Hugh Laurie is the captain of a cruise ship in the future. It's a cruise ship, spaceship, and he takes tourists on very fancy, expensive
Are they going to try and make
flights.
It Love Boat sort of
well,
inspired?
I don't know if it's – I think it could potentially be half Love Boat, half Titanic.
Okay.
And by I mean that things are going to have to go wrong very quickly.
Yep.
So we've learned a few more cast members in there. Rebecca Front, who she was one of the main characters on The Thick of It, one of the politicians. Trust me when I say you've seen her in a bunch of British sketch comedy and shows.
Okay.
She's an absolute queen, like fantastic at deadpanning.
Oh, I already like her then.
So then we've got Zach Woods, who you know from Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very
That'll
awkward gentleman. And then Josh Gad.
Ah.
Who, Olaf from Frozen.
Yeah.
LaFour from Beauty and the Beast. Had to dig
that
through.
That was good. That was
Thank
impressive.
Those are four very, very strong improv people, which makes me feel very confident that even though this is going to be a scripted high concept space show, these people are going to improv their asses off.
And clearly, if they've been cast, you have to assume that the producers, directors, writers are banking on the fact that they are going to get some improv gold out of them.
I won't say that's the bit that got these people to sign, was this is going to be an improv show. which is how he does his stuff traditionally anyway. There is a script outline. A lot of key lines are written, but actors find their movements and everything in the scene.
It's so fun the way I just love those kind of shows because it means that the actors are enjoying themselves. They are bringing stuff more than just I'm reading the lines for you.
Very much so. And his camera technique is to always be the observant fly on a wall. His stuff is never tracking character faces during conversations and things like that. It's always long shots through a window. Or, you know, that mockumentary style to give it a real life feeling. Mm. So if they can put that into a space show with improv people. Now, HBO, which is great, was expected to be a pilot order. It's already put through straight to series.
Great.
How many episodes that will be, I don't know, but I could not imagine any more than 10.
Mm.
Being Netflix, it's more likely going to be 6 to 8, but let's see.
Yep.
And hopefully they don't all die at the end or something like that, so they can come back for some more.
Yeah.
Showing Shibby and Somebody Stop Me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There's a new cast member for Fast and the Furious 9.
And it's the kind of cast member that when you hear who a cast member is, you go, oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Well, they showed a video and I couldn't see him in the video. That's his whole thing. You can't see me. That's his catchphrase. John bloody Cena.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm really on board with that.
That is a strong casting choice. Mm. A good get.
Yes.
Is what you would say.
And I feel like that's a slight response to The Rock going off to make Hobbs and Shaw by himself.
100% that's what it is. But it's going to just be positive benefits for fans.
Exactly.
Yeah. Audiences, they're not losing anything.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mm. Do you have any more news?
Oh, look, I just wanted to quickly mention that Endgame has made a ridiculous amount of money so far.
I have some stats.
Oh, yes, please.
I have some stats. As of recording, it is at 1.2 to billion US in 5 days. It is the fastest film to $100 million in the US, making that in 17 hours, which means it beats Star Wars Force Awakens record, which did it in 21 hours, so 4 hours quicker.
Jeez.
Marvel is officially bigger than Star Wars, which I have felt for a while, but it's good to see it officially recognized. Mm. As of 5 days on its opening, it is the 17th most successful film in history.
Just out of every movie ever made.
Out of every movie ever made.
Wow.
Already at 17th. And I found that stat. What is it? I pulled that out 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours ago now, so it could already be
it's
at the 16th.
Probably be more.
It's going crazy. It still hasn't opened in Russia. China has done massive numbers.
Oh, yeah, you would imagine.
Well, bigger than expected. Estimates were it could make $1 billion. And then people were like, that's ridiculous. Nothing ever makes $1 billion. Star Wars is lucky if it makes 700. Let's be conservative and say 800. And then throughout the weekend, it just got revised.
It became obvious.
And revised up and up and up and up and up.
Well, here in Australia, it made well over 30, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Well over 30 million.
Which is huge.
We're not a huge population.
No, that's more than a dollar for every person in Australia.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that you, how many times have you seen it now?
Just the twice.
Twice. Will you go and see it again at the movies?
I have to see it at the movies again. That film is an experience. It's not just a movie. It's the end of season 8 of a TV show you've been paying really close attention to. It's time to get all the payoff.
It's just insane that in this month we've had Avengers Endgame, so that chapter closing. We're halfway through the end of Game of Thrones' chapter closing as well. We've got, I mean, I know you mentioned Star Wars, but we've had the trailer for that last part of that huge saga is closing. It's later, but, you know, there's just so much.
Well, Spider-Man Far From Home, which comes out early July, I believe, that's Tom Holland's last contracted Spider-Man appearance. They only booked him for 5.
Oh, wow.
And if you put it through, you've got 2 Avengers plus Civil War and then 2 Spider-Man movies for Sony.
Jeez, okay.
They haven't announced anything further. And it's not only the end of Tom Holland's contract, but it's the end of the deal that Sony and Marvel worked out to share the character. So
who knows what's happening?
Exactly. They'll work out something.
Oh, yeah, it's
Spider-Man.
They'll
drive up with a truck. Dump money. They have to.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Granthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Any other news?
Only 2 trailers. Okay, I saw Deadwood the movie, the trailer.
Fill me in.
I don't want to say anything about that one, okay, because if you've not watched Deadwood, it will mean nothing.
Okay.
And if you have watched Deadwood, you don't want me to say anything.
Okay.
There was a lot of great moments that made me smile and excited at the people coming back. And Al Swearengen, swear at me, please. that's going to be, well, I was going to say brutal, but maybe not brutal. There will still be some brutality in there.
Yeah, there will be.
There will be unmatched swearing, and that's what I'm here for. The other one that made a bit of a splash, and I saw it twice, I watched the trailer twice, was the trailer for Men in Black International.
What did you think?
Well, the first time I watched it, I watched the dodgy upload they'd put in where the sound cut out, which is a very, very unfortunate thing if you're trying to make a big deal and show off of a movie that's essentially rebooting. The third Men in Black film is not great. There's some fun elements in there. Jermaine Clements is having some fun and this sort of stuff, but Tommy Lee Jones is clearly over it. And that's why they had to get Josh Brolin to basically play him. For a trailer for getting people hyped about a new one to have the sound cut out was not a good look. Thankfully, they got that fixed pretty quick. And I think it looks like it could be a bit of fun.
Okay.
It looks a very different, well, I won't say very, but it looks like a different beast to the other ones. The other ones were very American humor.
Yep.
Whereas this is very British, which
I'm down with that.
But I'm worried that it will be British through the lens of an American.
Okay.
Rather than a proper British thing.
It's a little bit too much tea drinking.
Yes. Yeah. Could be a little bit of that going on. Liam Neeson's in the mix. I saw Emma Thompson back.
I like her.
Some weird-looking shape-shifting aliens. And continuing the Thor and Valkyrie dynamic that works very strong.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, people are going to be happy.
Yeah.
You get the Marvel fans in there.
Yeah. Still could be trash.
Okay. But also could not be trash.
It could be great fun.
There's so many people on board with it that maybe it is actually worthwhile.
It could be more fun than a rock man wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
No, surely that's not possible, right? We'll see. Should we get into what we've been watching?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
First off, I gave the PlayStation exclusive game Days Gone ago. Open world, zombie apocalypse game where you're on a motorbike.
Did it rev your engines?
It revved my engines. I did see a lot of, in fact, the lead up to it, I'm talking like maybe 2 or 3 years, however long from when the first time it was at E3, people were like, do we need this? Do we need this? And then you would hear other people, reviewers and whatnot, going, I've played the early beta, it's a bit clunky, it crashes a lot. I'm like, that's a year ago, like it's a year till release. And then there were reviews, and some of the reviews are like, it's not that good, and then others like, meh, and then some were, I think it's okay. A lot of them were saying that there were problems with it in terms of crashing. I had it crash twice.
Yes.
But that was before the patch downloaded.
Okay. So they got a patch out quick?
They got a patch out quick, and then it didn't do it. I haven't had that problem. I did have one problem where the sound would cut out. And I tell you what, when you're trying to search for freakers, that's what the zombies are called. When you're trying to search for freakers and you use sound to find them, well, it's bad if you don't have it.
Of course.
Makes it difficult. But I just looked it up on Google and there was a fix, and all I had to do was change my exhaust in a mechanic. I'm talking about the motorcycle exhaust.
Huh.
Yeah, apparently the new patch made one of the exhausts cut the sound out. Weird, right?
Very weird.
Very weird. But it's definitely scratching the itch of post-apocalyptic world, open world. There's a lot of like stealthy stuff. The more you stealth, the easier it feels like.
Sure.
At least to me. Things take longer, but it hypes you up.
I did have someone say it is Red Dead Redemption 2 on a bike.
Yeah, I would say that.
If they did the Undead Nightmare version of Red Dead.
There's probably less having, I haven't had to eat anything.
Okay. So there's not quite as much survivalism to it. It's more focused on keeping your bike running, isn't it?
Yeah.
So and that's a pretty cool angle.
That tank does go down pretty quickly. And there's this big, you know, there's a lot of, petrol's pretty scarce around here. I've been looking on social media just to see what the fans think. And a lot of people are really enjoying it. I think maybe that the reviewers were, like their opinion may have been marred by the pre-patch game that they would have been given. I don't know. I'm not sure. But for what it is and for what I was expecting, it is all of that. So I'm really enjoying it.
Nice.
Yeah. Anytime I can wander around and, you know, stealth kill three freakers all in quick succession. I have come across a couple of hordes, but I have hightailed it out of there. I am way too early in the game to deal with 100
of those. No, you haven't
got an
RPG or anything yet?
Oh, hell no. I'm not dealing with that at all. Mm. But I did have a crossbow for quite some time and I felt very Daryl-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
A lot of Daryl.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I watched Netflix's new series, which we've talked about a few weeks ago, called You Versus Wild with Bear Grylls.
How did it go?
It was a lot of pressing of buttons.
In an annoying way?
No.
Or?
No, it's not good, like every good. 10 seconds. It's every couple of minutes you make a choice. And sometimes those choices are a little inconsequential. You know, should I swing across this ravine Tarzan style on this flimsy vine, or should I walk on this collapsed tree trunk that may or may not be rotten? And I think both choices end with you falling down the ravine because then you've got to climb back up at a different spot. And
yeah, right.
It was pretty good fun. And it very much felt like early Bear Grylls, so before he had all the celebrities and before he was mixing up, where it was just this is survivalism 101.
Yeah.
That's what this show was.
And do you think it's the kind of show that would be good to watch with other people?
Well, I watched it with Linz and the two of us made decisions together.
And that was fun?
Yes, because we quite often had very different opinions on what we should do. So it was interesting to see how it would play out.
Did it have kind of like, was it a timer counting down until you made the decision, or did it give you time to make that decision?
You probably had about 3 seconds, maybe a bit less. It wasn't a time or anything, but there was like a green light that would slowly fade.
Okay, yeah.
So you did know that you had to make the decision pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a couple of times where we made a decision that didn't result with his necessarily with his death, but with a situation that was untenable, and so he had to call in for help.
Okay.
Or, you know, had to get rescued and this sort of stuff like that. So
yeah.
I thought there was going to be a lot of, oh no, you threw Bear down the cliff.
Bear's dead. He's a horrible bear death. Do you think that they'll make more with him, or do you think perhaps they'll venture out like they've done Black Mirror, they've done this now, do you think they'll venture out into a slightly different sort of format?
Well, look, I haven't heard anything about this. I did a little bit of digging and I'm sure it would take a couple of weeks for it to come out. I have a feeling there was a meeting at some point between Bear Grylls and Charlie Brooker about this format.
Okay.
Because they're both over in Britain. They both move in very similar circles, this sort of stuff. And both heavily involved with Netflix now. I could see that was a conversation that went on of, I loved what you did with Bandersnatch. How could we do that in this?
Mm.
I don't see it being any more expensive to produce than a regular episode of Man vs. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's all they had to do was film the alternate versions.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything super duper extra to it and stuff like that. But the interactive element kept me glued.
That's
I wasn't
good.
Looking at my phone. I wasn't doing other stuff. You know, it was a reason to stay. And it didn't have that same thing of Bandersnatch of you've got to go back and find what happens if you chose a different thing. It wasn't necessarily that sort of thing. This was more, it felt like there were stakes to your decision, and that's cool.
Mm.
So choose your own adventure plenty of times. You choose one, see how that goes, and you might flick back and see this. Where the other one was kind of like, no, I made the decision of what I'd do in that moment. I'm going to stick with what I've chosen. It was interesting.
I want to give it a go because I did enjoy the choose your own adventure part of Bandersnatch, but I did find after a while I was trying to get a result that I wanted out of it, and then I realized that wasn't accessible within the storylines that they had written. So I'll give it another go. I watched something on Netflix, and I was glad I watched it after I'd eaten something delicious. I watched Street Food.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, each episode is a different part of the world. There were a few that were in sort of Asia and Southeast Asia, and then basically just pick a couple of different street food stalls, and they sort of follow that person, you know, their history, how they got to there, what they do, what makes their street food better than other people's.
Sure.
And it was really interesting. I'm trying to remember some of the places. There was, I think it didn't start in Indonesia. There was an Indonesian one for sure. Maybe it was Thailand that was the first one. There's Japanese. Like there's a whole heap of them. But I would say you do need to eat something delicious before or during it. Otherwise, it's going to make you so hungry.
Sure.
But I liked it.
Did you get food envy?
Yeah, of course I did. Every single thing that they were cooking. I was like, I'll eat that. Is that like an omelette with noodles in it? I'll eat that. Whole lot of deliciousness.
Anything you wouldn't eat?
No, but there was stuff that I looked at and I went, hey, I'll probably pass that. Just because it didn't look interesting.
Sure.
I want to go for the interesting and or super delicious thing. If you've got noodles as an option, I'm going to go there over anything else on there. So if you've got like little doughy balls that have been, I don't know, lightly fried up, or you've got udon noodles, I'm having the udons.
That's cool. Give me them fried balls.
Okay, great. This is why we work so well. It's the yin and yang.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else did you get into this week?
Well, I watched something that I watched, I think it came out 2 or 3 years ago, and I enjoyed it at the time, came back up in my iTunes feed. I'm going to watch that again. So it's not quite a movie, a TV one-off, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was only sold through a website and then eventually iTunes and stuff. But it's two comedians, Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel. You've seen them in plenty of stuff.
Are they American?
They are. Paul Scheer is the host of How Did This Get Made podcast.
I knew the name. Right, okay.
And I promise you've seen both of them in tons of comedies because they've been very strong featured players for 15 years or so.
Yeah, right.
They were part of Human Giant with Aziz Ansari.
Oh!
Which was an MTV show back in the late 2000s.
Mm.
So these two guys host a lot of comedy shows in LA and are very, very connected in the scene. And they decided they'd put on a special one-off comedy show where they hired a tour bus, one of those tour buses that goes around Hollywood pointing out Hollywood stars' houses that have got seats to the side, all facing one side.
Yep.
And they arrange for a bunch of their famous Hollywood friends and comedians to be scattered throughout LA. And they drive around for one night doing a one-night-only live show where they're doing comedy, doing stand-up in front of everyone.
Yeah.
But they'd pull up at certain places and, hey, here's Aubrey Plaza in her front yard burying a body.
Oh!
And do a skit with her for a minute and a half and it goes off the rail and then they drive on to the next place. Or they show up outside Man's Chinese Theatre and they've got speakers on the outside of the bus, so they force all the people that are dressed in costume to start parading for them and stuff. And they're like, we're going to have who's the worst Johnny Depp Captain Sparrow here.
Amazing.
All this sort of stuff. It's really funny. It's really clever. If you like some comedy that's off the rails and just clearly not going how it's supposed to but still working, this show Crash Test. I really hope they'd come back and do more. At one point, they crash through the gate into Paramount and go into the Paramount Studios at night, driving around there. And the Reno 911 guys, 911 guys are there in costume and in character, like as security guards. They've been demoted. And they get on the bus and try to insist that everyone needs to be strip searched for drugs.
Of course.
You got to do I believe it's called the tucked nuts and butts. All this, it's so weird. Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, Kenneth the Page, he is making his own film there that he may or may not have permission to do so. I think you would absolutely adore this thing.
So the audience is on the bus.
Yes.
Is it a real audience?
Yes. So there's like 30 people on this bus.
Amazing.
They get to interact at various moments. I don't think they get off the bus at any point. They're just like locked in on this bus for a while.
So good.
And craziness happens. And again, they're driving through Paramount and they come around a corner and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Earl sweatshirt. And this dude just raps while smoking a ton of weed as the bus drives past and keeps going.
And that's it.
That's Earl Sweatshirt's there's so many people in this that you will know from stuff and really enjoy what they do.
What's it called again?
Crash Test.
I want to see this.
So it's up on iTunes now. Mm-hmm. I don't think it ended up on Netflix or anything like that because these guys self-produced it. They paid for it themselves out of their own money and then sold it on their own website for quite some time before they put it out.
That's what you're
talking
about, the website thing.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. Well, I'm watching. No, that's a lie. I apologize. I'm lying. I've been listening to an audiobook called The Girl with All the Gifts. This was also made into a movie about 3 years ago.
Is it part of this Girl with a Dragon Tattoo series? No, it's
completely different. It's another weird virus zombie sort of thing.
Look out.
I know. But the movie, It's got Glenn Close in it. I have never heard of it before. I watched a trailer and thought, looks all right. The Girl with All the Gifts. So basically, both the book and the movie trailer, because I haven't seen the movie, start off with this girl in a cell. There are guards. They come in. They strap her to a wheelchair.
Is this an English movie? I have seen this. I think the movie has a different name, maybe?
It says on IMDb it's called The Girl with All the
Maybe
Gifts.
It is. I saw it not even on a flight or something, but like somewhere like random.
3 years old.
Yeah. And she wears a plastic
face mask. She wears a plastic face mask so that, yeah. So they strap her in and she goes onto a wheelchair. They take her to her class. All the other kids are like this. And then one of the guards wipes, like rubs his skin and then puts his arm near one of the kids and the kid just starts trying to bite at him, but he can't because he's strapped in. So they've got the virus and then all shenanigans happens from there. Now, you reckon you've seen the movie?
I think I have. I distinctly remember parts of it. I think I maybe even watched it in two goes.
Okay.
But it's jumbled in my mind, but I remember being very affected by how good the young girl was.
She looks great in the trailer.
And how much Glenn Close plays against type is all I'll say from what I remember her character doing.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah, there's some pretty full-on moments, at least within the book. I'm probably about two-thirds of the way through listening to it as an audiobook. But it was one of those moments where you just go, how did I miss all of this? One, how did I miss that I didn't know the book existed? And two, how did I not know about the movie? And I'm so glad that I decided to listen to it because it grips me. Sometimes when I listen to audiobooks, I find my brain drifting away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, I've got to listen back to it. But this one has kept me, particularly in the first couple of hours of listening. Like, it's really super tense. You're like, oh, my gosh, what's going on?
Awesome.
How is this going to happen? Definitely worthwhile. And I do want to check the movie out, but after.
Yeah, I think I only know it because it came out when I was over in the UK.
Yes.
Or something like that. And it was a very, very small release, but got a bit of buzz and hype behind it.
Yeah.
And it's not a big budget film by any stretch, but.
But I like it.
Cool.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, what'd you watch?
I saw the end of Gotham.
Oh, right.
Now, Gotham has been a weird beast of a show, to say the least. The entire premise of the show is we're going to build up to showing Batman. Now, I don't know if you ever watched Smallville back in the day about Superman.
Oh, bits of it.
Somebody say that's theme song is in my soul. They danced around for, I want to say, 10 seasons or something, and only put Clark in the costume at the very last episode and had him flopped. And this was always going to be the case with Gotham, that this was about the rise of Bruce Wayne, which was kind of the intention when the show was being put together. But then instead it became about Commissioner Gordon and, well, not at that time, Lieutenant Gordon.
So it kind of.
And then it shifted again.
It didn't lose its way. It's just kept.
It's been a very malleable show. Yeah. And then it decided in the end that it wanted to be about how Gotham was what made Bruce Wayne. It was not any particular villain. It was not Alfred. It was just growing up in that bonkers city. And now, there was a point of the show where I hate watched it because it just felt awful. Jada Pinkett Smith was awful, just so bad on it. Everyone else was hammy. Hammy in a way that was true to their characters, where she just felt like she was just being hammy. Like, she wasn't playing a character from the comics. So she didn't have a justifiable, well, I'm making this noise because that's how the Penguin laughs. That wah, wah, wah. Nothing like that. She was just weird. The guy who played Penguin, on the other hand, was amazing and just did some really interesting stuff. And yeah, the Riddler was at first I thought he was quite boring, but then once they started leaning into the whole bipolar nature of his, you know, the guy ended up the Riddler being a dissociative personality and this sort of stuff.
Ah, cool.
It got really, and it just got more and more trippy, and I came to really, really enjoy it.
That's good. I like it when that kind of thing happens where you're either on the fence about something and it could easily teeter either way, and then for an actor to make that impression to then tip you over to, oh, yeah, this is positive. I really like this. That's great.
Yeah. Look, the last season has been a truncated, shorter season. Gotham has been cut off from the rest of the world because all the villains took over, and so the army decided it was easy just to blow up all the bridges and leave everyone behind. And so it's been a lawless city.
It sounds like a whole heap of things. It sounds like video games where they block off an island so that you can only access that. It sounds like
it's the equivalent of
Kurt Russell
Escape from New York,
yeah,
in LA. It's the equivalent of a kid going and then that's what this show is. It's just every time you so people have come back from the dead as reanimated. One guy came back as Solomon Grundy, which is like a Frankenstein that's pure white.
Solomon Grundy born on a Monday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they've just done some really weird stuff. And, I mean, as expected, they'd kind of wrapped up everything last episode. And then this very last episode was a 10-year jump forward. And in that period, Bruce Wayne had been off training. And so the episode very much ends with the first time that the light is turned on.
Mm.
Not the bat light. There's no logo, but just the light to signal him. Mm. And people looking up, and there he is.
Gosh.
And they had different people play Batman and Catwoman because they had been children throughout the whole show and they needed to because they both looked very young.
People age, yep.
Mm-hmm. So well done, Gotham. You kind of stuck the landing on a show that somehow got 5 seasons that should not have gotten 5 seasons, but was great and I enjoyed it very much throughout.
Great.
I'm sad that it's done.
Would you do a rewatch?
No. Uh-huh. It's not that good.
Okay. I was just checking. All right, well, instead of a traditional quiz, why don't we do a would you rather?
Well, I would rather.
This is from Tessa. She sent it in. If you want to send in a would you rather, if you want to send in any listener questions, if you want to send in a quiz, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com is a place to do that. All right, so would you rather a box set of Play School or Sesame Street?
Clearly written by someone who's not a parent.
Sesame Street, maybe? Play School's been going on. I think maybe Sesame Street because you get cameos from people.
And songs.
Yeah.
Play School's got a much smaller library of songs.
Yeah.
Whereas Sesame Street, I'll be happy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
that's what
eight,
I was
going to
do.
11, 12.
Love that song. I still love it today. All right. Oh, okay. This one is, all right. Would you rather that you have to watch A Current Affair or Today Tonight every night for the rest of your life?
Or?
No, that's it. Would you rather watch A Current Affair or Today Tonight, but you have to watch either of them every night for the rest of your life?
Kill me.
Okay. I don't know, Tracy Grimshaw.
Which one's that?
Current Affair, I think.
Is that at 6:30 or 7?
Oh, I don't know. 6:30?
Okay, so 6:30 is, because as far as I understand, 6:30 means it could still be possibly news, but 7 means it's opinion.
Yeah, we've 100% pre-recorded it. Okay, yeah, all right. Would you rather be a contestant on Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right?
Price is Right. Mm. Price is Right is a game of chance.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune, you've got to try and figure out.
That's a game of skill.
But with Price is Right, no, with Wheel of Fortune, you guarantee that you're on. Price is Right, don't they just call you out of the audience, or do you already know that you're going to be called? You probably already know.
And I reckon they probably film 10 episodes back to back, so almost everyone in the crowd gets pulled out.
Okay, I'm going to go with Price is Right as well then. That sounds fun. People were so hyped in that show.
There was a lot of Redskins and Sherbys given out before filming, I reckon.
Yeah, Red Cordial.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather a sequel to Cool Runnings or Uncle Buck? I think this. Let's go ahead and assume that John Candy is still alive.
I was going to say, unless we have a ghost.
A ghost John Candy, then I want a ghost John Candy looking after an adult Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck is the correct answer because there was no second Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, okay. I like this one. Mm-hmm. Would you rather a Game of Thrones Christmas musical special or a Walking Dead Halloween special? I would like to see the cast of Game of Thrones singing Christmas songs as their characters.
I can't believe that this is my justification, but a Walking Dead Halloween special seems a lot more plausible because Christmas isn't a concept in Winterfell, whereas I could see them gathering around and Judith going, "Everyone, what's a Halloween?" Oh, come, let's tell you scary stories about the time I didn't have bus fare. Because that's what a scary story would be in a zombie world.
Carol could make the almond biscuits again, the cookies, and that would be what the kids get for trick or treat and nothing else. Some cherry tomatoes. But, Mom, they don't taste like cherry. Just eat them.
Eat them.
Last one. Would you rather... Would you rather a musical version of Back to the Future or a dramatic real-life version of Lego Movie? I want to see the musical of Back to the Future. I want to see them singing about, you got a car, you got a car. There's going to be a storm, we'll put it in the car.
Sure.
Like the lightning.
I hate manure.
Yo, don't call me chicken. Yeah, it'd be a sort of 1980s rap about don't call me chicken as well.
88. It's the year, it's the speed, it's our heart rate.
Oh, my siblings are disappearing. What do? I'm feeling blue. Might go and sing a song or two about it.
One is the number of pines that are left now. Two, there were two before. Someone went somewhere, somehow. Yeah. Lonely pines.
So sad.
That's a good one.
That was good. Mm. I really like that. We want more would you rathers, please.
Yeah. What was the other option? A real life version of Lego Movie? Mm. That's shit.
Dramatic.
That's a... Spoilers.
Spoilers so much for side mouth talking.
16 film,
yeah, about
was
16,
it?
I'd say. I'm trying to remember. Everything was very awesome.
Mm.
All right, I think that's going to do it for us. If you haven't already, download the Game of Thrones episode 3 that we talk about with people. Bill and Rayna both come back, big Game of Thrones fans. So that's out ready for you to download.
Pop it in your audio socket.
Because we have got theories coming out left, right and centre about where we want those next 3 episodes to go.
I had to buy new corks to plug myself. They were just leaking everywhere.
It's hard to buy corks these days. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite difficult. Mm. Tom, thank you very much.
I'd like everyone to please raise your right hand, form it into a fist, hold it right near whatever device you're listening through this for, because I'm about to give you a digital fist bump.